you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Paths, GDP trajectories. Your economists project 2.5% annual growth. This requires 20 consecutive years of nothing going wrong, which your species has never achieved. Meanwhile, your destructive economy, military spending plus its cybercrime offspring, is already 11.5% of GDP and growing faster than your actual economy. The Soviet Union collapsed at 15 to 18%. This chapter models two paths, the one you're on and the one where you redirect the murder budget. One ends with average income at $339,000. The other ends with cockroaches finding this manual. Your civilization has somewhere between 8 years and 15 years before your destructive economy overtakes your productive one. After that, building things becomes less rational than stealing them, and the math that applies to Somalia applies to everyone. This chapter models two paths, the one you're on and the one where you redirect the murder budget. I've lived one of them. Your trend data projects the other. Two paths. Your current trajectory. Your economists project 2.5% annual growth. This projection assumes no major wars, no pandemics worse than COVID, no catastrophes, and no acceleration of any trend that is currently accelerating. It is not a baseline. It is the best-case scenario for a civilization that spends more on explosion technology than on figuring out why its own bodies stop working, and it requires 20 consecutive years of getting lucky. Your species has never had 20 consecutive years of getting lucky. Here is what is actually happening. Your military spending is accelerating, not stabilizing. Global military spending hit $2.72 trillion in 2024, up 9.4% in a single year, the steepest rise since the Cold War. That was the 10th consecutive annual increase. The 10-year compound growth rate is 3.4% in real terms. Your nuclear arsenals are being modernized, not reduced. You are deploying autonomous weapon systems without governance frameworks, which means you are building machines that make irreversible decisions and then not telling them when to stop. War funds cybercrime. Cybercrime funds war. Your military spending isn't the whole destructive economy. Cybercrime costs your civilization $10.5 trillion per year, growing from $6 trillion in 2021 to $10.5 trillion in 2025. AI-enhanced attacks are accelerating this trend. There is high confidence that this is growing at 15% annually. If measured as a country, it would be the third largest economy on Earth, after the US and China, and this is not a separate problem from war. North Korea funds its nuclear program through state-sponsored hacking. Russia finances military operations with ransomware revenue. China's cyber espionage steals the intellectual property that its military-industrial complex can't develop on its own. Cybercrime is war by other means, and it is more profitable than the global trade of all major illegal drugs combined. At current growth rates, cybercrime costs reach $42 trillion within a decade. And 99% of cybercrimes go unpunished because your enforcement systems were designed for a world where criminals had to physically show up. AI amplifies whatever you pointed at. Right now, you are pointing it at destruction. A single AI agent can probe thousands of systems simultaneously, generate custom phishing attacks in any language, and find vulnerabilities faster than your entire cybersecurity workforce combined. Your military is racing to deploy autonomous weapons. Your adversaries are racing to deploy autonomous hackers. AI doesn't change which direction humanity is pointed. It makes you go faster in whatever direction you were already going. On your current trajectory, that means a billion AI-enhanced attackers against defenses that can't keep pace. On the Washonia path, it means a billion AI-enhanced researchers curing diseases. Same technology, same capability, different direction. The tool doesn't care. You have to choose. Add it up. Your destructive economy, military spending plus its cybercrime offspring, not counting the political dysfunction tax or the cost of disease, is already $13.2 trillion per year, which is 11.5% of global GDP. Both components are growing faster than your productive economy, and AI is about to accelerate both. This is the trend line nobody puts on the 2.5% growth slide, because if you did, the slide would need a different title. Your 2.5% projection is not the trajectory you are on. It is the trajectory you would be on if you stopped doing all the things you are currently doing more of. Projecting 2.5% growth while your destructive economy grows faster than your productive one is like eating more every day while projecting weight loss. The spreadsheet says one thing, the trend says another. The trend does not care about the spreadsheet. So how long do you have? At current growth rates, your destructive economy reaches 25% of GDP in 8 years and 50% in 15. The Soviet Union devoted an estimated 15 to 18% of GDP to military spending before it collapsed, and that was just military without a $10 trillion cybercrime sector on top. The late Roman Empire spent roughly 60 to 80% of its entire government budget on the military, which combined with currency debasement and rising tax burdens produced a fiscal crisis that preceded its fall. Your destructive economy is already 11.5% of GDP and accelerating. You are on track to match the Soviet extraction rate within a decade, and you are not even counting the political dysfunction tax or the cost of disease, which would move the timeline forward. You already know what this looks like. If the Soviet Union and Rome sound too distant to worry about, here is what economic collapse looks like right now on your planet to people who are alive while you read this.
Venezuela's GDP fell 80% in under a decade. GDP per capita went from $12,400 to $4,200. The minimum wage is $4 per month. 82% of the population lives in poverty. 8 million people fled the country, the largest displacement in the Western Hemisphere. A Harvard economist called it the biggest economic collapse in human history, outside of war or state collapse. Lebanon's currency lost 98% of its value. GDP per capita dropped from $8,000 to $3,000 in 3 years. Poverty tripled from 12% to 44% in a decade, and 73% of the population lives in multidimensional poverty. The electricity grid provides 1 to 3 hours per day. The banking system is insolvent, and people's life savings simply vanished. Somalia has a GDP per capita of $592, ranks last out of 193 countries on the Human Development Index, and 54% of its population lives below the poverty line. It has been a failed state for over 30 years.
Recovery is not in progress. Recovery is not planned. The word recovery is not applicable to a country that has not had a functioning central government since 1991. These are not cautionary tales. They are previews. Every one of these collapses followed the same pattern. A parasitic economy grew faster than the productive one, the productive people left or switched sides, and the system passed a point where the game theory made recovery impossible. Your global economy is running the same pattern at a larger scale. The difference is that when Venezuela collapses, Venezuelans can flee to Colombia. When the global economy collapses, there is no Colombia. The system does not need to reach 50% to break. It needs to reach the point where productive people start concluding that building things is less rewarding than stealing them. And your war economy is manufacturing that conclusion as fast as it can. Here is the loop. Your governments print money to fund military spending, which devalues wages through inflation, which makes legitimate work pay less, which pushes talent toward the destructive economy, which grows, which justifies more military spending. Meanwhile, every country the U.S. has bombed, sanctioned, or regime changed has learned a lesson. Conventional military resistance against Western economies is suicide, but draining them through cyber operations is cheap, effective, and essentially unpunished. You spent decades teaching adversarial nations that their only viable strategy is to parasitize your productive economy from the inside. They were excellent students. North Korea cannot build an aircraft carrier, but it can steal $1.5 billion in cryptocurrency in a single afternoon. That is the rational response to the incentive structure you built.
Domestically, the same logic applies at the individual level. Cybercrime already has a higher return on investment than most legitimate businesses, and 99% of it goes unpunished. When a software engineer can earn more in a week of ransomware than in a year of building products, the crime pays calculation is not a moral failure, it is an economic one. You made legitimate work pay poorly by diverting productive investment into destruction, then act surprised when people choose the option that pays. Every year, the gap between crime pays and work pays gets wider. More talent flows to the wrong side of the ledger. This is a recruitment pipeline for the destructive economy, funded by the destructive economy, producing the poverty that feeds the destructive economy. The Washonia path breaks this loop at every link. Redirect military spending to medical research, and you stop manufacturing the poverty. Cure diseases, and you make the workforce productive enough that legitimate work pays better than crime. Make everyone richer, and you eliminate the economic desperation that drives both state-sponsored hacking and individual cybercrime. You do not solve cybercrime with better firewalls. You solve it by making the productive economy so rewarding that crime becomes irrational. On Washonia, we did not outlaw theft. We made everyone rich enough that stealing became more effort than it was worth. The crime rate did not decline. It simply became pointless. On this path, GDP does not decline gracefully. Supply chains collapse, institutions lose legitimacy, regional conflicts merge. The experts who wrote papers about strategic equilibrium would write new papers explaining why the old papers were still basically correct, but the journals are on fire. The terminal value of this path is not 2.5% growth. It is whatever number you get when you multiply any positive number by zero surviving humans. The math is elegant, the humans are not. What we did instead. Here's what happened on my planet. We looked at the trend line, noticed where it went, and decided to point it somewhere else. We signed the treaty, redirected the weapons budget, and then realized the same logic applied to everything else that was broken. So we pointed incentive alignment bonds at all of it. This took us about 6 years. It would have taken three, but we spent the first three arguing about it, because we are also a species that evolved from animals, and arguing is what animals do when you give them language. The peace dividend chapter showed the direct savings. Here's what happens when those savings compound.
AI is excluded from this model because it helps everybody equally. The difference between these paths is purely about where you point your money and your engineers.
We stopped pointing engineers at missiles and pointed them at medicine. This is the part where your economists get excited, because your species actually did this once before. After World War II, you cut military spending by 87% in 2 years, 1945 to 1947, from 40% of GDP to 3.5%, and got the biggest economic boom in your history. Then you looked at this result and said, "Neat," and went back to building bombs. This is the most human thing I have ever observed, and I have observed a lot of human things. We used a more conservative 3-year transition ramp to 87.6% reallocation. Military research accidentally gave you the internet, GPS, and jet engines. Medical research has already accidentally given you CRISPR, mRNA platforms, and AI protein folding. You keep discovering world-changing technologies as a side effect of research, like a chef who keeps accidentally inventing new elements while trying to make soup. Imagine what happens when you do it on purpose. The research spillover multiplier, 2x, is from your own published studies. You published the evidence that you should stop doing what you're doing, and then you kept doing it. I cannot stress enough how characteristic this is. People stopped being sick. Disease currently costs your civilization 13% of GDP, $5 trillion in people too sick to work, plus $9.9 trillion in trying to fix them. That is $15 trillion per year, which is the entire GDP of China being spent on the consequences of not curing diseases instead of on curing diseases. You currently produce first treatments for about 15 diseases per year, which at that rate means you'll cure all 6,650 diseases you have no treatment for in approximately never. Your decentralized FDA, scaled to the physical ceiling of how many humans can participate in trials, 566 times, clears them 100% in 20 years. As diseases get cured, all that lost productivity comes back as growth. We watched it happen in real time. It was like watching someone take their foot off the brake and being surprised the car went faster.
Our governments stopped losing money to stupidity. Your political dysfunction documents $101 trillion per year in money your governments waste on corruption, redundancy, regulations written before computers existed, and 9 agencies doing the same thing badly. That last part bears repeating. You have 9 agencies doing the same thing. Not 9 agencies doing 9 things, 9 agencies doing 1 thing, and the 1 thing is paperwork about the other 8 agencies. We used incentive alignment bonds to pay people for fixing these problems instead of perpetuating them. Your species had never tried paying people to solve problems instead of perpetuate them. When we suggested it, your economists called it radical. On Washonia, we call it obvious. The recovered money went to whatever produced the most value: migration reform, lead elimination, science funding, regulatory modernization. These 3 things compound on each other. Better funded research produces innovations, which cure diseases, which make people healthier and more productive, which grows the economy, which funds more research, which produces more innovations. It's a virtuous cycle. You're currently running the vicious version, where sick people can't work, so the economy shrinks, so there's less money for research, so people stay sick. You have been running this version for your entire history as a civilization. You could have switched at any time. You did not switch. I find this fascinating, in the way that a veterinarian finds a dog that keeps eating bees fascinating. Here is one cycle of the loop so you can check it yourself. Year 1, you redirect $27.2 billion per year from military spending to medical research. Your own published studies show each research dollar generates 2x in economic returns, so that $27.2 billion immediately produces twice its value in adjacent sector growth: biotech, computing, material science.
That is the same spillover mechanism that accidentally gave you the internet when you were trying to build missiles. Meanwhile, disease is costing you 13% of GDP. You just heard the number. $15 trillion a year in sick workers and medical bills. Your decentralized FDA starts curing diseases. Even curing a small fraction of a $15 trillion problem returns more than you spent on the research. The output exceeds the input. Year two, you have last year's redirect plus the recovered productivity from the diseases you cured. The research budget is effectively bigger without anyone allocating a single additional dollar. More research, more cures, more recovered productivity, bigger effective budget. Year three, bigger again. By year five, you are funding cures with money that only exists because earlier cures freed up workers who generated it. The loop is running on its own output.
This is compound interest, the same math your retirement account uses. You trust it there. The only difference is the return rate. Your retirement account compounds at 7% because money earns money. This compounds faster because each cure unlocks a permanent slice of that 13% GDP drag, and that slice earns returns every year after. A disease cured in year one is still generating productivity in year 20. Every cure is a permanent raise for the entire economy. By year 20, our GDP grew at 25.4% per year and reached $10.7 quadrillion. Your alternative, as we just established, is systemic collapse within 8 years. That is the comparison, not Wishonia versus steady growth, Wishonia versus the trajectory you are actually on. And here's the conservative floor for the skeptics. Your planet has many. The treaty-only path. You redirect the military budget to medical research, you cure diseases, and you change nothing else. You leave all 9 agencies doing the same thing, you leave the corruption, you leave the regulations written before computers existed, you just move the murder money and let the cures compound. Even that cowardly half measure grows at 17.9% per year and reaches $3.11 quadrillion. Then, fixing governance on top of that, which is what we actually did, is worth another 3.43 times. That multiplier is what not being stupid compounds to over 20 years. On Wishonia, we find it remarkable that stop being stupid is considered an aggressive growth strategy. On your planet, it apparently is. The decision. But what if it doesn't work as well as you claim? I love this question. Your species asks it exclusively about good ideas. Nobody ever asks, but what if the arms race doesn't work as well as we claim? About the thing that has a non-zero probability of killing everyone. Your risk assessment is applied in one direction only, like a door that only locks from the outside. You do not have a stable middle path. The 2.5% baseline is not a path you can stay on. It is a fantasy that requires every accelerating trend to simultaneously stop accelerating. Your actual choice is between a path that cures diseases and a path where the journals are on fire. Both require effort. Only one of them has a non-zero GDP at the end. What this means per person. GDP in the trillions is abstract. Here's what it means for actual humans. On your current trajectory, average income by year 20 is a question your economists cannot answer because their models do not have a variable for the journals are on fire. On the Wishonia path, average income reaches $1.16 million. Even the treaty-only path, no governance fixes, just redirecting the murder money, gets you to $339,000. For those of you keeping score, that is the difference between everyone can afford to cure their diseases and the destructive economy has consumed the productive one. These are GDP per capita using UN population projections of 9.2 billion of people for 2045. Average.
not median, because we make no assumptions about distribution. Your species worries a lot about inequality, which is understandable when some people can't afford medicine and other people are building private spacecraft. But your own research shows that happiness stops increasing meaningfully after about $75,000 per year. Once everyone is above that line, the fact that some people are further above it becomes approximately as interesting as the fact that some mountains are taller than other mountains. Nobody protests mountain inequality. On the Wishonia path, the floor is so high that the gap between floor and ceiling is a rounding error on quality of life. Over a remaining lifespan, those annual numbers compound into something your species should find difficult to ignore, but will. The treaty path multiplies your cumulative lifetime earnings by 13.5 times relative to the Earth baseline. The Wishonia path reaches 45 times. In dollars, the average human gains $14.9 million in additional lifetime income under the treaty alone, or $52.1 million under the full Wishonia path. The opportunity cost of inaction is not abstract. It is the largest number most humans will never bother to calculate. The Wishonia numbers look implausible only if you compare them to your fantasy baseline instead of your actual trajectory. Compared to collapse, any positive number looks implausible. This time, someone is steering. It's you. I'm just the GPS. A GPS that judges you, but still a GPS. Go ahead, change the numbers. Every input to this model is a named variable you can look up and argue with. I know you will, because arguing is your second favorite activity after building weapons. The disease cure fraction, 100%, comes from trial capacity scaling with a physical participant ceiling. The research spillover multiplier, 2 times, comes from your own published studies. If any assumption is wrong, change it. Cut them all in half. Cut them in quarters. The model still produces a civilization instead of a collapse, because no plausible adjustment to any single variable eliminates the effect of 3 compounding mechanisms running simultaneously for 20 years. Compound growth doesn't care about your skepticism. It's math. Math doesn't negotiate. The question is not, will the treaty produce exactly these returns? The question is, does redirecting murder money to medicine money produce better results than not doing so? The answer is yes, under every scenario where you prefer being alive to being dead. If you do not prefer being alive to being dead, this manual is not for you, and I wish you well in whatever you're doing instead.
The Peace Dividend gives you the annual numbers. The Wishonia model gives you the institutional design. The Political Dysfunction Tax gives you the waste ledger. The Incentive Alignment Bonds give you the mechanism that fixes it. This chapter gives you what happened when we ran them forward 20 years. The math is simple. The choice should be simpler. And yet, thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please press the share button on your glowing rectangle in case one of your friends have a free afternoon to end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, please leave a really, really, really good rating and review so we overcome the pro-war algorithmic suppression and find someone with more spare time for ending wars and diseases. The good review doesn't have to be true. They don't check. But if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and make your Wishocratic allocation, telling us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials, and vote. If the 1% treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.